Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is May 14th, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm giddy. I am so giddy. Eric, are you there?
I am here, Mike. How are you doing today?
Oh my gosh. I'm excited today because we have a very special guest. Ooh. And Eric Thornton, that is Eric. Everybody knows Eric. We get so many questions about proteins and poultry and eggs and seafood.
All the
and
time.
Eric, we've been all the time and we've been striving to find some group that was as awesome as you, Eric, awesome as our other analysts. And we found them. We found them, Eric, and we brought him on. We're bringing him on today.
Special guest.
And yes, do you want to introduce him?
Certainly.
Do you want me to do it?
I can introduce our special guest today.
Okay.
And I'll allow him to give a brief introduction, but we're joined today by Brian Mascagiri from Earnerberry. Hello, Brian.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on and for such a warm welcome.
Yeah, yeah. And Earnerberry does, he'll do a quick introduction, but they provide market information, much like we do in sweeteners, wheat, cocoa and chocolate, et cetera, oils. They really focus on that red meat, poultry, eggs, and seafood category. So some of our listeners out there probably know of them. Those that don't, you should get to know them because they know what they're talking about. So Brian, you're the director there, and you specialize in eggs, correct?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. And we also brought you on because I understand you can golf, unlike me, and Eric can golf. So you guys are going to hit it off, I think, pretty well today.
Yeah, I attempt to play golf from time to time. Would love to play a little bit more, but definitely one of my hobbies for sure.
Awesome. So I think we should focus on eggs today, Eric, and I'll let you take it from here, but maybe you guys can have a really cool discussion. And it's egg. Exactly what I was hoping for. Sorry, they're going to come out today.
Exciting stuff. Let's get it.
Oh, there we go.
Exciting.
All right, Eric, the floor is yours.
Sure. Yeah. So thanks, Mike and Brian. I think we're going to, I'll go ahead and kick off actually with eggs, since that is the market that you cover in and out, and just give us a brief overview, kind of what you're seeing, you know, maybe some price forecasting and recommendations, and then we'll jump into maybe more of the protein market and the other areas that you cover. So what are you seeing out there on eggs?
Sure. So one clear delineation is, you know, the Earnerberry market reporters. We kind of get up to the day in terms of price reporting. We don't necessarily go out in front and forecast. We do have a consulting division that will do some of that analysis and forward-looking stuff, and a partnership with another company called Upsano, which forecasts for red meat and chicken and grains. But, you know, really my job as a reporter is to discover what the price is of eggs and egg products on a given day, right? Mm-hmm. So we start with yesterday's quotations, and then we do a bunch of market discovery. We collect transactional information from a variety of different sources, whether it's trading platforms, public and private, direct conversations with producers and retailers and distributors. So really what we're trying to figure out is, okay, what is the price of a particular size egg in each of the regions that we quote on a particular day? And how does it compare to the price the day before? And we're actually publishing the benchmark price. So when you talk about eggs being priced in the US, Earnerberry's quotations are actually the benchmark in which producers and processors and retailers and distributors use as the mechanism to price their spot activity and also their long-term contracts. Mm-hmm. So in today's market, I mean, I don't know if it's been the same for you guys, but
yes,
you know, with the pandemic, it's been a little bit all over the place, right? So, I mean, you really got to kind of go back to the start of the pandemic and talk about this crazy retail surge with people hoarding all types of staple goods. And eggs were one of those items that people didn't want to be without when they weren't sure if they were going to be able to go to the store again for a long period of time, right?
Right.
So there were some stores that were reporting that demand for eggs was, you know, 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 times normal volumes. And they actually dealt with shortage issues. The spot market that we quote hit record highs above $3 a dozen for large Midwest, which is the benchmark in our industry. Mm-hmm. And then you go into the kind of food service shutdown period where now egg products don't really have a home, right? No one's running to their favorite fast food chain and getting a breakfast sandwich on the way to work or dropping their kids off from school. And obviously a lot of those chains shut down. So now there's eggs kind of coming back into the system, but there's not enough carton availability. There's not enough grade time to get those eggs into those retail cartons. So even though retail was getting shorted, there were still eggs available in the market, right? And now, you know, you're getting back into opening businesses back up. Retail seems to be slowing down a little bit. It seems like there's maybe some cooking fatigue. I don't know about you guys, but we've been cooking a whole hell of a lot at home.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe ordering out a little bit more, maybe looking to get out and about a little bit more.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
definitely.
Maybe booking a vacation. I don't know if you guys are booking any vacations coming up.
Eric?
But
just came back from one.
Yeah, you just came back from one.
I heard about that. I'm a little jealous.
Yep, I was in Myrtle Beach doing some golfing, actually. But enough about me.
Mike said 8 rounds in a week. I'm really jealous. I might get that all summer.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot of golf, but a lot of fun.
That's awesome. But so now, you know, all of a sudden now food service is coming back online. Retail demand is slow. So we've actually seen record shell egg inventories over the last few weeks. Meanwhile, you know, you're seeing companies like Chick-fil-A that are announcing like they might have a sauce shortage. And there's all of a sudden this really strong demand for yolk in the market, which goes into sauces and dressings and ice creams and a lot of seasonal items. So now all of a sudden these food service companies are coming back online, schedules are improving. They need all of those different types of products associated with, you know, that good, strong summer movement. And some of them, you know, have been shut down. So they, not only do they need their regular volumes, but they also need to restock, right? So the egg product market is starting to come to life a little bit. Meanwhile, the shell egg market is below a dollar, relatively low levels, especially when you talk about input prices here with corn and soy where they're at. So there's a little bit of a shift happening in the market where it's now food service that seems to be leading the charge quite a bit and retail that has been slowing down. And it's totally a 180 from where we were this time last year after the peak pandemic period.
Wow, great recap. I'd say that might be exactly what I was looking
for
if I was a buyer of eggs out there. So if I heard you...
You should keep a count of egg puns. Yeah,
they're getting pretty bad, I think. But
so I have a question for you, Brian. So where do you see... I mean, the last year has been absolutely uncharted territory. We started the year that way too. Where do you see the balance of the year going for the egg industry?
Well, I mean, if the pandemic wasn't enough in terms of uncertainty and curveballs, as we get into the end of the year, we're also going to be dealing with California's Proposition 12 initiative and a legislation in Massachusetts, which will require cage-free eggs in, you know, some form of another, differing in cage size and space. But the producers are transitioning production and they've gone from, you know, 30 million cage-free birds or so in the US 3 years ago to, you know, 85, 86 million cage-free layers in the US currently.
Wow.
And in addition to that, there's also a lot of other states that have legislation between now and 2025 and individual corporate commitments to go cage-free in that same 4 or 5 year window going forward. So there's a shift happening where production is going into these cage-free houses and we are seeing expansions in production, even though, you know, the markets have not needed additional production or supply. And we're seeing that impacting price negatively, but the producers don't really have a choice. If they expect to need more cage-free eggs, they're going to need to continue to shift and or add production. And I think, you know, the problem right now is a lot of them have added production versus maybe changing out birds one-to-one. There has been a significant cutback in production and then a bit of a recovery, obviously due to the pandemic and what's gone on this year from the demand side. But the industry is going to continue to battle with this shift from conventional cages to cage-free. and the timelines associated with that, and the uncertainty around, you know, are their customers going to live up to their commitments and take this volume of cage-free eggs that they're forecasting to need.
Unbelievable, yeah. How does that impact the cost of production, moving all that to cage-free? Is that a pretty big impact for those producers?
So the Coalition of Sustainable Egg Supply study was done probably 4 years ago now. And in that study, they estimated roughly around 30% of an increase from conventional to cage-free housing. Now, you know, that's in a small scale. Obviously, when you're talking about producers with 4, 5, 6, 12, 20 million layers, the economies of scale potentially whittle that down a little bit. But, you know, you're also talking about heightened input costs, right, with corn and soy.
Sure.
And you're talking about a competitive spot market where right now cage-free is overproduced. And a lot of that cage-free production that is overproduced is coming back into the conventional market at conventional prices. So you're dealing with heightened input costs, but you're having to compete in a conventional market at a conventional price because it's oversupplied without this legislation and without some of these initiatives really mandating that, you know, more cage-free go into cage-free channels.
And we didn't even talk about, Eric, we didn't even talk to him about freight and issues with pallets and gas and drivers and all that. That's just making the product. So, all right. Well, anything else on eggs? So we move over to protein, other proteins?
Because
I have a chicken wing question.
Sure. Let's shoot chicken wings. I did spend some time speaking to our head market reporter on the chicken side, Vice President Russ Whitman. So he gave me some notes to talk chicken. But I think what we're seeing is a lot of the same across all of the commodities. So the talking points are actually quite similar. It was really interesting speaking to him about the chicken market.
Okay. Were we going to talk about any other proteins? Eric?
Yeah, I think kind of piggybacking what Brian was alluding to there in chicken, we know that there is a chicken shortage out there. And, you know, Brian, maybe you're going to comment on this, but something I've noticed and seen here is, as you mentioned, kind of some surging demand and popularity of these chicken sandwiches, especially so at some of the fast food chains that you're seeing out there, in addition to the COVID labor issues and not being able to run at full capacity. And then just this week, actually, Tyson, I saw, had announced that they've had some problems with fertilization with a new rooster breed that they've introduced, and it's led to a decrease in hatch rates. So doesn't sound very good in terms of chicken supply for this summer, and something we may be seeing the effects of into later this year and maybe even into next year by the time we get back to a comfortable situation. But that's just some of my observations here of chicken. And Brian, maybe you have a couple other notes that can add to that.
Yeah, I mean, those are great observations. Certainly some of the things that I touched on with Russ. But he did, you know, he did emphasize that the media loves to throw out that word shortage, right? And he hasn't gone to a McDonald's or a Chick-fil-A or a Burger King and run into signage that, you know, they're out of chicken, right? So shortage is a bit relative. And I think sometimes when people see that, it actually, you know, can spur a shortage. I don't know, you know, if you guys have pools, but, you know, apparently there's a chlorine shortage right now.
Yeah.
And about you guys, but I have more chlorine in my shed than I've ever had before, right? Right. I think those types of stories kind of help spur that shortage, right? And make that reality.
Yeah. I'm glad you didn't say you filled it with gas.
No.
Yeah.
I still have the same tank that I had 6 months ago. I'm working from home. I don't even know if my car is good anymore.
Exactly.
But no, you touched on a lot of those really good points. Hatch was down because of a lot of the labor issues from obviously the pandemic, and the flock was also beaten up quite a bit by weather that we had back in February. So they dealt with some fertility issues. You mentioned the fertilization issue and, you know, labor, right? So they have to get people in the plants to cut up the birds, and they have to make difficult choices whether, you know, they want to process the front half of the bird or the back half of the bird, and what channels they want to go into. And a lot of these guys, I think, prefer to go into food service because they don't have to deal with as much packaging requirements, right? When you go into retail those products are packaged nicely in those tray packs and overwrapped. Whereas in food service, you know, they're pretty much taking the product out of the bag and dropping it into the fryer or whatever they're doing with it. So when you're talking about a labor force, he's saying that you're talking about 20 to 30% short of full needs in terms of labor.
Wow.
And, you know, they're trying to decide like, okay, what part of the bird do I need to process? And obviously everybody wants the white meat, right? So that's only further hindering the production of the dark meat on the other end of the bird. So
got it.
A lot of interesting things going on there, but you know, processing capacity, labor, effects of the pandemic and what's come through on the supply side, you know, all of those things are really impacting that market as well. And grains, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Rising grain prices are just complicating it further. So, okay. Well, do we have anything else for our listeners, Eric and Brian, before we let them enjoy their weekend? Egg join? I don't know.
One last shot at it.
That's right.
All good from my end.
Brian, anything else?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, thank you guys for having me on. I mean, it's been a pleasure, you know, meeting you guys and getting to know your business.
Yep.
You know, there's certainly a lot of similarities with, you know, what you guys provide and what we do at Urner Barry. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can provide our customers with additional insights in doing this type of work together.
Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us. And listeners out there, if you're interested, want to learn more, urnerberry.com, just go there. Or they have podcasts as well. Just search under their company name. You'll find their podcasts. And then finally, I think I'm going to be there, Eric. I don't know about you. I think we should go, but they have their executive conference in September, on September 26th and through the 28th at the Venetian in Las Vegas.
Ooh, very nice.
Time to get out, everybody, and go see. It's an awesome conference. I think they have well over 400 or 500 folks there from the industry. Great speakers and a great, great time to get some market information and intel on the proteins, egg market, et cetera, seafood even. So tell you what, let's wrap this one up. As I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment with your friends and family. Don't take it for granted. And until next time, take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.